If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Merkel Media.
You lost her.
Yeah, what happened?
Hello? Are you there? Hey, the dog man got me for a minute. I didn't want me telling you about it.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. It went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkel.
And I'm Brian Shipper.
If you have a story you'd like to share with us or just have a conversation with us here on the show, we'd love to hear from you. And you can contact us through our email address. Our email address is hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or you can go to the Hammer Lane Legends webpage. That's hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section and you can get hold of us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're on the Hammer Lane, if you go through the Hammer Lane Legends webpage, take a look at the gear section. See what's there. See if you're interested in any of this stuff. There's t-shirts and hoodies and sweatshirts and I'm trying to think everything else. Stickers.
All kinds of little knickknacks.
Yeah, all kinds of cool stuff, you know. So we got it all. And Ship, tell them about the voicemail line.
Voicemail line, you call 515-585-MERK. 515-585-6375. You have a short, story there you want to tell, leave a voicemail. We will eventually get to the voicemail show line as soon as we get the computers totally up and running.
And Jackson figures it out.
Jack figures it out. Yes, there's that. But otherwise, if you have a longer story, you should just email the show and we'll schedule you to get on there because, as you know, once we start talking, it goes off the rails.
It does.
It goes any which way.
Yep.
It's just a conversation.
Yep. Nobody gets hurt.
Nobody gets hurt, and you might you might think you don't have anything to say. You're not going to fill an hour, and before you know it, we're cutting you off because it's 2.5 hours
exactly
down the road.
Yes. That's it. It is just a conversation. It's just fun. With that all being said, when you take a look around you and you see what's going on in the economy, you see what's going on with supply chain issues and all of those things, we're all aware of it. This is not anything new. And yep, it sounds like it's a broken record. That's what it sounds like. Every week we say this, and every week we mean it, because if you find or you think that you're going to be in need of any kind of preparedness stuff, well, there's a place you can go. There's a place you can find that stuff at, and that's at preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. This is not a sales pitch. This is just, look, you know what? We would like, you know, nothing more than to help people out in a tough situation. Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what the supply chain issues are going to be in the next year? I mean, this has been going on now for, what, a year, year and a half, that the supply chain issues have been going on and on and on. Yeah, you don't have to use preparewithhll.com. You can go to the store and just get yourself some extra beans and some rice and have that on your shelf. You know, when you buy one thing, buy two of it and use one and store the other one. And then when you go out and you buy another one, you buy two more and you do the same thing. And that way you have something that you need in a pinch when you don't have it, when it's not on the shelves. You know, I mean, look what happened. What was it last year with the toilet paper and paper towels? You know, it's like it's not a pretty thing when all these things start not being there. So it's just a food. It's just food for thought. Just, you know, take that into consideration. And Brian, tell them about Buy Me a Coffee.
Well, you want to keep us fueled there at buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. You know, Merkel there, he drinks it by the gallon. I drink the soda.
By the gallon.
Coke and the Mountain Dew to get the caffeine that way. Because, you know, unfortunately, I'm a truck driver that doesn't smoke and doesn't like coffee.
There you go.
So there's two.
That's what? Are you sure you're a truck driver?
Right, exactly.
You don't drink coffee? What?
Not at all. But, you know, you leave a tip there in the virtual tip jar, and we'd appreciate it. Just another thing with that preparedness food there, they do have kind of plans that you can stretch it out, because everybody knows money doesn't go as far as it used to. They have all kinds of plans there to help you out to get the things that you're going to need. So take a visit, take a walk on the website, let your fingers do the walking.
There you go. Take a walk on the wild side.
No, I'm not going there.
Yeah. At our age and our shape, we're not walking any wild sides.
Nope. Not at all.
Well, you know, today we're going to be talking with Melissa. Melissa, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Oh, it's good to hear.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into trucking? How did this kind of become a lifestyle, a life? I mean, trucking is one of those things that once you get into it, you know, it's kind of like this is how I live my life now. You know, I'm a slave right. to the wheel. That's that sounds terrible, but it's true.
Yeah. No, it is true. Well, honestly, I've always quote unquote been a pretty good driver, and I could back boat trailers up and things like that. And I've always been intrigued by big trucks, but I started off my adult career as a banker, and then bank got bought out and I decided not to, you know, to do something else. So then I did 911 dispatching for a while, and I got tired of the office politics, even though I liked helping people. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to go get my CDL and go trucking. And I've been doing it ever since. So
that's awesome. That is, I mean, going from banker to 911 to driving the big rig.
My friends and family, they're like, well, that's your personality, so we can believe it.
Are they saying that you like to be alone, or what are they saying?
Just jumping from this to that to this to that.
That's cool.
But yeah, it's been very rewarding. I did city work for a while, which means delivering like UPS, but off the lift gate with a 2,000-pound, 3,000-pound pallet off the back.
Yeah, that's
with the 48-foot trailer. So, and even that, I don't know if you guys had ever done that, but I got tired of the politics with dealing with the customers with that. So then I decided to go to line haul, because at the bank and 911, the majority of my shift was night shift, graveyard shift. So I was like, well, sign me up for line haul, because I only have to deal with either the terminal or the person I'm meeting. So it works out. Yes. I like it. People ask me how I do the nights, but it suits me, you know.
People might ask you how to do the nights, and you just look at them, how do you do the days?
Exactly.
Exactly. How do you deal with the public and
right.
the during the day?
Oh, my word, yeah. Your career has run the same, well, your driving career. That's exactly how mine started out. I did, you know, city work, P&D for a couple of years, and I had enough of that, and I was like, you know, when a line haul position opens up, can you please let me know? And right. that was 23 years ago. So I've been doing line haul for 23 years. So, you know, yeah. I am with you. I'm a night. I've become a night person. It's like, you know, this is the way it is. And my wife has been really easy with that. She's really been good. She's always been, ever since I started driving, she's been very flexible and you know, never, you know, it was never too much. You know, I never did over the road, none of that, because I always wanted to be home, at least be home with her and the kids, you know, and see them. So
I've never done over the road either. I'm home every night, but every morning I'm home.
We totally know. what you mean. Yes, ma'am, that is it. And it's the only way to drive.
Yes.
Right. As far as I'm concerned. And you get paid more, I think, sometimes.
Yes, you do. So it is. And Ship is, I don't know, Ship, you did P&D, you did, well, what haven't you done? So
yeah, I did P&D for a while, then went back inside the office and was actually inbound supervisor, then came back out again, then went on the road for line haul. And, you know, it's been like that ever since. I mean, I came from driving tow truck. You know, I got married and wife wanted me to quote unquote settle down and have a normal hour, you know, normal hours.
Welcome to truck driving.
So, you know, we did the mechanic thing, you know, working inside. And I just, from being running on the tow truck, I just couldn't stay inside. I mean, it's just a quirk in my head. Yeah. Even when I was doing the inbound supervisor, I just couldn't be inside. I just needed to be out. I just needed to be out driving, and you know,
like more freedom. You know,
exactly. You know, I mean, looking out your big schedule, window in your front of your desk there in your office. You know, it's just like I just couldn't be at the same place with the same people every day.
Right.
You know, in a confined 8x12 office.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
Because with my loving personality, people would love to hate me real quick. And I would love to hate them twice as quick.
Oh, yeah.
Well said.
Yeah, so you like that. And besides, there's another saying I learned. You have to be flexible in truck driving.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
But my back hurts from carrying the company after a while.
Oh, yeah. I see that with my company.
Yeah. It seems to be one of those things when you get involved in the LTL business, you know, as a driver, they're all pretty much the same, you know.
Just a different color truck.
Yep, that's it, you know. Yeah. But the stories are the same. That's exactly true. Yeah.
But it pays well.
It's 68.
Exactly. So when you started driving, and like how long have you been driving? I guess that's a good place to kind of take that. How long have you been?
Only about 3 years.
Oh, okay.
I'm new to it.
Wow, yeah, that's awesome.
Y'all can teach me some things.
Are you enjoying it so far?
Oh, I love it.
That's fantastic.
I'm upset that I didn't do it sooner, you know.
Look at that. A satisfied customer.
I know, right? That's awesome. That's good. Yeah. That's good. That is really good. That's a good advertisement for the industry, because we are always short drivers and it's just getting worse.
Right.
So where you're at, do they have like in truck cameras and that kind of stuff?
We don't have driver facing cameras, but of course we have the forward facing, you know, for accidents and things like that.
Right. Is it the kind that talk to you?
You know, scream at you if you're speeding or you blew a stop sign or.
You know what? I was in Virginia when I started. I'm in Florida now. When I was in Virginia, I was in a newer truck and it had all the minging and dinging and the yelling and screaming, and I hated it. Right.
Yeah.
So I come to Florida. Moved to Florida, and the company I'm with the same company, but the terminal I'm with now, I'm in an older truck, so it's squeaky and rattly and got 600,000 miles on it, but there's no binging and dinging. I have the forward facing cameras, but I feel like I don't have all that other stuff. And people are like, don't you want a new truck? And I'm like, heck no. I don't want a new truck. No.
For those of you that are behind the times, what she's referring to is the binging and dinging. That's the front end of its collision system because you're too close, or somebody cut in front of you, and the lane departure system. And then the other camera that just you, there was a stop sign.
Yeah, exactly. And thing that got me is, I don't know, the newer Internationals, for whatever reason, I had to drive one of those when my Pete was down. And those things, if you even go past the guardrail that wasn't there before, it starts dinging, saying there's something there. I'm like, yes, it's a guardrail.
Yep.
You know, and I'm like, gosh, that got on my nerves so bad. So I'm thankful for my old 500,000-mile truck that squeaks, you know.
Mm-hmm. I miss those days. Because now the truck makes more noise at me than the squeaking and bumping and rattling.
There's more distractions with that than anything.
I was filling in on another driver's route, and he got a new Peterbilt, which that on the newer trucks, that's what I prefer. But he was like, you can take my truck while I'm on vacation. And I said, oh, okay. You know, no, I didn't take his truck. I'm like, forget it. And he was like, you didn't take my truck. And I'm like, no, I don't want all that mess going on in there all night. That gives me anxiety.
Yes, it is. It is, you know. Like Ship said, it is more distraction than
and the other thing that got me was when I was in Virginia, my route was going up to West Virginia up Flat Top Mountain, and I had to drive again that newer International, and the braking system, the automatic braking, that's dangerous when you're going, like when it's icy or there's snow, because it automatic brakes when the snow would build up on the front where the sensor is. And I'm like, how dangerous is that?
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
So I don't get that, and people complained and they're not doing anything about it. At least they weren't.
I know when I got my new tractor that had the front end avoidance and the automatic braking, you know, up in Northeast here, driving through Jersey, you know, hitting rush hour traffic, and that we were in traffic. It would sense that I'm too close to the car. I mean, you know, you're in bumper to bumper traffic, and the thing would literally lock up, you know, and the four ways would come on, and you can't move until it goes through its cycle. You know, that you can go. Yeah. I'm like, oh, well, this is beautiful.
You know? It's more dangerous.
Yeah. But, you know, they consider it to be safe. But,
yeah, it adds a whole level of excitement to the show.
You know? And then you get your safety guy that says, well, you shouldn't have followed that close. This is New Jersey. If I leave more than a car length in front of me, I got three guys fighting for that spot.
Yes.
Florida's the same way.
Yes.
But the people that make that
500 on 95.
You know what? Life is a racetrack down here, I'm telling you.
Oh, I believe
And I always say the people that make that system, that safety system, and sell it to the companies are the ones making the millions of dollars a year, but they've never set their butt in a truck, you know?
You got that right. Yes.
Again, my famous five words, take a ride with me.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
Or here, you grab the wheel.
Yep.
I'll sit over here in the jump seat and you drive and you tell me what this is like.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, it is one of those things that I guess it's my own, you know, one of my pet peeves is just so many of the things that happen in the industry are dictated by people who've never driven, you know, and I just find that to be, you know, sometimes it's an annoyance because they don't really have a clue and they just think, well, this sounds really good.
Yeah.
This is, you know, this should work. Then this should. And when you have to deal with it all night long. You know, I mean, that's why I couldn't do a city. I could not be a city driver, especially now. When I first started driving 30 years ago, it was one thing. But with, as you get older and you're like, you know what, I just don't have it. I don't have the patience anymore, you know. And when you just see people the way they drive, you're like, you just shrug your shoulders. It's like, are you crazy?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think they are.
And speaking of the people that get paid millions for their quote unquote great ideas, have you guys ever pulled doubles?
Yes, I have.
With a dolly. Okay. You know what? is my one of my biggest pet peeves. Like the doubles, it's not like a city trailer, so you don't have your same trailer assigned to you every day that you take care of and you make sure it's good, right?
Right.
You're getting all these trailers back and forth. Nobody gives a crap. They don't write stuff up, you know, so they're worn out a lot of times.
Yeah.
Well, on some of them, you know, when you're connecting the airlines from the dolly to your first trailer and you've got that big metal piece that's supposed to be the protection, but you can't get your airlines in there. And I'm like, who has gotten paid millions of dollars for this safety feature? And I can't even get the damn airlines in there. God, that aggravates me. And then I'm down on my knees trying to wiggle it in there. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And then it's at night. So then I'm trying to either hold my flashlight in my mouth or have my thing on my head.
Right.
Like a minor, you know? And I'm like, oh, good Lord. Yes, who got paid for this?
You're right. I've run it across that a lot of times where, you know, you get to your brake terminal there and they give you another set to hook up to and put together.
And
it's like, well, the guy that brought it in had no problem. Well, it turns out, you know, that was the kite, the back pup. And now it's your lead pup, and, you know, the air's not coming through the emergency side of the airlines. And, you know, like you said, it just crap rolls downhill.
Yes, it does.
And then the other night, which this happened a lot, I was pulling a 53-foot back, and it's loaded up to the gills. It had, like, 42,000 pounds on it. And it was the end of the night because I do one of the later routes. So the valve, the air valve or whatever. I'm not a mechanic and I am a girl, so I don't know
how to turn. Listen, there's plenty of guys that have no idea what the heck we're talking about.
I admit it. But anyway, the air was leaking on the trailer. Like, you could hear it. Whether you had the brakes on, off, it didn't matter. And I'm like, you know, it's flat here. So I'm like, do I just roll with it, because somebody didn't write it up. Do I roll with it being like this and just be careful, you know? Or do I wait like 3 hours for the dock guys to unload the trailer and load another one that I don't get paid for?
Right.
You know, because it's a set amount.
Oh,
wow.
So,
yeah.
Another
customer,
doesn't get paid for their wait time. Thank you.
Exactly.
I just thought that they really do exist.
Yes. It's not just us.
It's not just us. Sorry, we just went off on a tangent.
We just got happy for a second there. It's like, we're not alone.
Exactly. We get paid if it's 3 hours or more and it's an accident on the interstate or weather related. But who sits really for 3 hours? You know, they usually have that stuff wrapped up pretty, you know, in 2 hours at least.
Right.
You know?
So you just spent 2 hours. Right.
Not unless you're in Pennsylvania with a snow squall coming across 81.
Oh, no.
That's true.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's famous here for that kind of stuff, you know.
Well, so is Virginia there on 95.
Very true.
Yeah,
very true.
And let me tell y'all something else that happened that doesn't have anything to do with what you're talking about. So are you guys familiar with Roanoke, Virginia? And then, you know, you go up 460 and in Princeton is where you get on 77 to go like to Charleston, or you can go back down through the tunnels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if y'all are familiar with that.
Yep.
But anyway, so this was in like, it was probably early 2021 or 2020. So anyway, so I'm pulling doubles, going up 460, almost getting to Princeton, and there's like an incline, you know, like a hill going up.
Mm-hmm.
And there was about probably four or five inches of snow on the ground. And of course, they don't do anything to 460 through there. And it was starting to sleet. Yeah, exactly. And it was sleeting. So I'm going uphill at about 20, you know, I'm not pushing, and they don't give us chains for anything. Forget it. You're lucky if you're in a sleeper going up north with chains with my company. So anyway, not that, you know, sometimes you feel like you need them when it's icy.
Right.
But anyway, so I'm going up, going about 20, not hitting my brakes, trying to keep a steady, you know, steady pace going up. And all of a sudden I look, I hadn't hit my brakes, and my back pup trailer is swung around sideways where I can read my company name on my trailer. And I'm like, how does this happen? I'm going uphill. I haven't hit my brakes. Like gravity, something's, you know, and I'm sitting there driving, wondering what's getting ready to happen. And I'm like, how does this happen? Like I'm talking to myself.
Right.
Have y'all ever had that happen going uphill and the back pump trailer just swings around?
Yep. It's happened. And, you know, depending upon the road pitch too. And like you said, it was, you know, slippery. Believe me, those things got a mind of their own, but you know, and you're just there for the ride.
Exactly. You just, it's like a roller coaster. You just hold on and see what's going to happen next.
Yeah. Just keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times.
Yes. And wait for it to come to a complete stop.
Complete stop. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
That is the beauty of this industry. You know, it's just, anything can happen and it will.
Yeah.
That's true. Yes.
Yeah.
So with your pups, you're running single axle or twin screw?
Twin.
Oh, okay.
They'll let us run, like if our truck is down, they'll let us run a single and then they just watch the weight. But normally our company makes you run a twin. Yeah.
Yeah. If they do that with us, you know, we get the numbskull there, you know, you have 45,000 going out and 19 coming back and, you know. Or you get to the meat point and it's like, oh, well, here's your trailer. What are you going to do? You know,
exactly.
You said, you're going to just pull it, you know,
right.
You're going to just be a little careful. You
pull
know,
it and hope for
you want to get the hell home.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's what it is you don't want to, it's like, well, do I chance, you know, getting pulled or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Sometimes it runs through your head. Well, it made it this far. It could make it a little farther.
Exactly. Yes. That was me the other night with stupid airlines.
Right.
So, yeah.
Air compressor, don't fail me now.
That's exactly it.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Oh.
Yeah. I had that the other night when I was hooking up in Harrisburg. I'm like, I released the trailer brakes, released the tractor brakes, and I'm like, why am I hearing air? You know? And it's like, well, it's only 90 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Brakes were still working. So I was like, I don't mean like if it was something serious, if I followed it with something that, you know, just so that, you know, that they understand, I would have, you know, stopped and gone to the shop and done all that. But
exactly.
You know, just one of those things.
You hear
where it's just,
bleeding.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like,
bleeding back through the dash. And
exactly.
I gotten to the point now where because I'm 90% of the time I pull doubles and I can tell by the way it bleeds back through and when I hit the brakes in what order, if it's the first trailer leak in the dolly or the second trailer, because you just get used to it. Right. So that way I know what to write up, you know?
Right. Oh, so, you mean, but you do that? Yeah. You use the vehicle inspection report book?
Other than a fan?
Because I
think
half the drivers don't. They just they sign off on it. It's like, okay, we're good to go. I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as I get back and I get my, like, I can log out of my computer, I'm done. You know, that's the game.
Yeah.
That's the name of the game. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about the next driver has to get in that, you know, pull that trailer.
Exactly.
And that,
exactly.
Yep. Like you said earlier, that's just one of those things that just drives you crazy. You see that kind of stuff. And I mean, how many times has it happened that you hook up? You walk around, you're thumping your tires. There's a flat tire. There's lights out in your hazmat. It's like, are you kidding me? You mean the guy who dropped it couldn't kick the tires, couldn't walk around the trailer?
Yeah,
there's not a flat tire. It's got two sidewalls to it.
Right.
Nothing else.
Exactly. And you didn't notice it when you dropped it.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks. That just happened.
Right. Yeah. It happened
in the
yard.
Noticed that shredded tire.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, thanks, Derek.
It just happened in the parking lot.
Yep.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. So you
possum have got on it.
Shoot a hole.
Yes. A very hungry one.
Yes. Yes. You got that right. So you have found this to be a good job, a decent job. It pays well. It takes care of what you need to take care of.
It's perfect for me. I wouldn't say it's for everybody.
Exactly.
Even I have a best friend. It's a guy, and he's like, I don't know. And he's older than me, but we've been friends since the bank. And he's like, I don't know how you do it. I can't even back up my car into a parking space, you know? So it's not for everybody, but
it's
you
not.
you just tell him, you just have to swing wide when you're backing your car up. That's what I do.
Yeah.
And use your mirrors. And if all else fails, get out and look.
Right. goal.
Yeah. That's the last objective, but right. Yeah.
It is. That's the last step. I don't want to have to climb in and out again.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know.
You can go to a boat ramp and make money on the side, oh, or go to a...
You're not kidding there.
Yes.
$50 and I'll take care of that for you.
Yeah. Or bring a bag of popcorn because it's just fun to watch the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Have a Coke and a smile and a bag of popcorn.
That's it. Because
it's going to start.
I got to say, when I went through my CDL, I went through a CDL class because I didn't do over the road, so I didn't get trained like that or whatever. But I could always back up our boat trailer. But for whatever reason, well, I was having trouble. I don't know how it is where you guys live, but for Virginia, for the CDL, you had to go to the DMV, like in Martinsville or whatever, and you had to do the 3 backing maneuvers. And the third one was parallel parking, but you didn't know if they were going to do driver's side or blind side.
Right.
So the whole time, I was good through the whole class. Like the driving, you know, forward, backing up or whatever, but the blind side parallel parking, I don't know. I just had like this block on it. And it's like a mental block that I was giving myself. You know what I mean? I felt that way. And, that was the hardest thing is just, and I don't know why, like now I'm fine, but that just freaked me out so bad. But, and that, I tell people, cause they ask me about the class and I'm like, you just got to keep doing it till you get it, you know?
That's it.
Don't get upset.
Especially when you're there doing the testing, you know, you got the examiner there, you know, your nerves are rattled to begin with. And now it's like, oh, shit, if I screw this up, I'm done. I got to start this whole process all over again. Yeah.
Right.
You know, and, you know, practice makes perfect, you know,
right
on the job experience, as they say.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
And now, it's like you just whip it back and yeah, we're there. Yep. You're good. Not even looking.
And another thing that happened in Roanoke, there was this driver from like the 2 terminals I've worked in aren't real big. The terminals that I would go to switch out, some of them were a lot bigger. Some like the one I go to now is like 300 doors, but the ones I come from are like 50 and 60 doors, you know? So, back when I started, line haul, there was a driver at the terminal, like the back side would be the short side where you didn't have that much room to, you know, to maneuver around or whatever, especially with we never had a yard dog. So we had to hook our own doubles up where I'm at now and back then. And, so he would always, I don't know, you know, you never know what people have a problem with you about, whether I'm a girl, who knows what, you know, but he didn't like me for whatever reason. So when he would come from another terminal, he would park, or drop his trailers right in my way where it was hard for me to back up to the other pup trailer. And somebody's like, just ask him to move or either move his trailer for him. I said, no, you know what? I'm just going to do it, you know? And in the pup trailers, of course, if you oversteer, then you're all like, you know, way out of whack, you know? So, you know, that taught me, like I would get it in there, like as tight as it was, I always did it. Cause I was like, you know, F you, I'm doing it and I'm not asking you to move, you know? Yeah. And he would like watch me and stuff. And I'm like, dude, what's your problem?
Yeah, you
know? But I never said anything. I just did it, you know?
Yeah.
So what helped me was, and I thought to myself during all that, you know, time is one of these days, this is going to pay off or this will help me. Well, in my terminal now, literally our backside where I have to pull from every night is so tight that little incident with that guy all that time helped me so much that I'm able to whip it in and out over here. And I've had other guys from other terminals say, can you hook my doubles up for me? Because I can't get in here, you know,
$50.
So I'm like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Amen.
I'm
brother.
Like, so
it's awesome.
You know, when things are hard, just push through it. Yep, and absolutely. It helped me out in the long run, you know,
because like you said at the end, then you can say a girl hooked your pups up for you, big boy.
Yes, she did. And she's back to 53 foot sleeper cab in back there for you,
right? Exactly.
With a huge overhang tail swing, because it's just nuts, like the back of this terminal. I'll tell y'all where it is and you can look later, but it's like the the parking lot goes off. There's a canal, of course, you know, because it's Florida. And you can see where the pavement has buckled and is broken, where people pull up too far. And right. one day I was backing in a 53-foot back there, and I pulled up, and, you know, you're just inching up right to the edge.
Right.
And I felt the truck go, I was like, oh, reverse.
Reverse. Don't fail me now.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even know how they would get out of that, because it's so, like, tight back there. I'm like, I don't even know how they would. I guess you would. I don't even know. If you dropped your front tires off that into the canal, I'm like, oh.
Well, they make $750,000 anyway. Records to get them out.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's an expensive endeavor. Yes. That's
exactly.
for sure.
But that's what I admire about this. I mean, I don't begrudge anybody of doing this job.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, actually seeing a woman that knows what she's doing and can handle herself,
yep.
You know, with like you saying, you know, there'd be like three or four guys just standing there, watch, she's going to screw this up. And then their jaws are on the ground because you're backed in, you're there, you're done, you're doing your job,
yeah.
and you're on the way out already.
And,
you know,
yeah.
that,
and you know
that,
what?
That is, you know, to me, it's like, well, good for her, man. She
exactly.
showed their asses up.
Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm like anybody else. I'm not perfect and I mess up and I correct it, you know,
sure,
but.
Right. But you learn from your mistakes.
Exactly. It's like either guys are mad because I'm doing it and their wife is sitting at home doing nothing, or, and maybe they're, you know, hurting for money. I don't know. Or they're like overly like smitten. And I'm like, dude, just treat me like a normal person. You know,
right.
I'm no different, just a normal person. And then often I'll have people, even at my home terminal, the dock guys, they'll all just gather around and watch me back up. And I'm like, I don't understand. I'm like, it's no different. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, you get out of the truck and you say, time.
Exactly. And I'm like, and they don't do that with anybody else. Because I waited, like when I backed my truck in for the day, I watch. And when other people come in, they don't give, you know, two stamps about it. But then when I come in there, oh, she's backing in. Uh-huh. And I'm like, dude, I've been here for how long? You're not over it yet. You know?
Right.
It's like,
exactly.
I'm backing in a door, not on the landing strip.
Right. Right.
Exactly. And I don't know if they're intrigued or they're waiting for me to mess up. It's probably half and half, just so they can say, see, a girl can't do that. You know, so I think
yes.
it's about half and half, but I just do what I can. And like I said, I nobody's perfect. I don't back it in exactly perfect every time, especially on that short side. You know,
have you ever seen a Swift
one day
backing in?
No, I
haven't. Okay,
have not.
Don't say ever. You're not that perfect. Relax.
You're good.
You're good. Okay. You're good.
One day, about four of them were up there watching, and I, you know, it was one of those nights. You know, some nights you're just tired when you come back, you
yep.
know, and you're just not thinking right. So I'm trying to back a 53-foot in, and I bet I pulled up 10 times, probably not 10 times, but, you know, you do what you got to do.
Yes.
Sometimes you're not perfect, you know?
Yeah, that's it.
You know, I find the worst problem with me backing up is if they give me four or five doors that are empty and, you know, say,
and
put it in
the middle door.
They give you the middle door. I'm like, what the hell? Is this the first day I'm driving? You know, I can wedge it in between, you know, it's a 102 inch wide trailer in a 108 inch spot.
Yeah.
But I can't for the life of me land this in the middle of five doors.
You know what? That is the truth, especially with the darn pup trailers. I got to pull up more times when I have open doors than if I'm putting it through, putting
yes.
it in between 253 foot.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the heck?
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what?
It's a weird thing.
It's funny because I, you know, it's like, you know, I'm not the only guy that has that problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's
yeah.
like your judgment's all off.
Yeah.
It's like that line doesn't mean anything to the trailer. You know, it's going wherever
yeah.
it wants. It's like, is this my first day?
Right.
Have I been doing this
exactly.
for 30 years? It doesn't seem like it today.
I mean, I had an instance. What was it? Three months ago. It was two open doors, and I just whipped in, backed it right in, and I'm cranking the landing gear down. I'm realizing, It's supposed to be over in that door.
It's the other door.
And then, you know, I called the dock supervisor. I says, is it really a problem if I got in the wrong door? He says, well, yeah, I got everything coded for that door. I'm like, oh we don't have an eraser here that can change everything. Fine, I'll move it.
Yeah.
The thing's how we write everything in pencil.
Right.
And another thing that gets me is I'll back the first pup trailer in perfect, you know, and then the second one, I've got like 5 pull-ups. I'm like, what happened between then right. and now?
Yep, exactly.
Like, what's the weights my brain are different. Doing? Exactly, that's what it is.
It's like a tractor pull. The weight slid, the weight come across the sled too quick.
Exactly.
Yes, that is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, my brain's like, no, I'm off now. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going home.
Yeah, you're focused on getting out the gate now. Now it's personal time. Yes. Yeah, and your brain is going, no, but
at least
done
at
yet.
Least you have a sense of humor about it. It's not that you get flustered because,
you know, you can't.
That's it.
You know, the people will see that you can get flustered really quick, you know, like these, you know, you were saying, the dock guys watching you back up, you know. Yeah, you just show them what it's about, and you say, hey, you know, it's $5 for each of you. You want backup lessons, you know. You got to make a joke of it, you know, or otherwise it just drives you to drink, you know.
Or you look at them and say, you too could do this.
Yeah. You too can graduate from a forklift.
That's right.
Exactly. And one of them, I forget exactly what they said. It was about a year ago, and they said something smart, Alec. And I was like, you know, funny thing, all you can drive is a forklift and I'm driving the big truck. So I'd watch your mouth, you know, because I don't let them, you know, push me around.
That's
so
right.
They think I'm all nice and sweet and everything. And then I'm like, you know, if I got to be smart, then I'll be smart with you. And then they usually leave me alone for a while. Right, they don't say nothing else. They're scared.
Just remember, you know, you just got to remember, hey, they can go from zero to bitch in 15 seconds, you know.
Yes.
You know, exactly. And you don't want to go on that far end of that spectrum.
And you're going to get your feelings hurt.
Exactly.
Even though I don't know you.
Yes. Exactly. Take your blanket and go home, Nancy.
Yes, exactly. That's the truth.
Oh, you're freaking hilarious, dude.
I'm sorry. It's just, you know.
It's true. It's
hey, and then true. Then after I chew their ass real good, then they're more intrigued.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't win.
Yeah.
I can't win.
No, unfortunately, that is the truth. Sometimes it just, that's
hey, sometimes you just can't help you're perfect, you know?
That's right. You know? But it's all good, you know. That's the industry, you know. That is, you know, and it's like Shipper was saying, you know, everybody has a bad day. Everybody has a bad back, you know, backing up or, you know, scenario in their own head. They've all done it. We've all had that. The thing is not getting flustered, because that's when it's just going to get worse. You know, everything's going to go out of control. It's just staying focused, you know. I'll get it between the two, you know. That's the way it'll be. It'll get there. It might take me an extra one or two, you know, pull-ups. That's fine. It is what it is.
Because if you get mad and get bent out of shape, you're never going to get that trailer in there.
Exactly.
You're just not. Because that's what happened, like, in class and stuff is, or even with those guys that I had to help that they wouldn't admit. But they just got aggravated. And I'm just thinking, just calm down and just, you know, do it at your own pace and you'll get it in there quicker than what you think. You know, you don't have to be Superman with the trailer, you know, getting it in there. Just take your time. And especially with the pup trailers, you just go slow. You don't have to like 50 miles an hour to the, you know, backing up. Just go slow and you can correct yourself easier. So,
exactly.
But who am I to tell somebody?
No, that's actually really good advice, because it's like, you don't have to do it the first time. You know, you just keep your cool and you'll get it in. It's just taking your time and doing it. There is no, you know, you already have your CDL and you already have the job. You're not proving anything to anybody if you do it in one shot or if you do it in four. It's just the way it is.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
You got it in without hitting anything or making damage to anything else.
You're good.
Right.
That's the important thing.
Yeah. You can go that's inside and not have to fill out an accident report.
Right.
You know, so it's a good night. Exactly. You know, it's all good as far as I'm concerned. You know, it works. So what have been some of your experiences on the road there, Melissa?
Like regarding what?
Anything. Anything.
Anything. You know, bad sushi at a truck stop. I don't know. Anything.
Oh Lord. That,
if you eat truck stop sushi, shit, you got a problem.
I don't eat that. You know.
No.
I ain't got time for that.
No, thank you. Nope. I don't eat sushi at all. I'm like that. That's a no go. My kids do, and I'm like, that's gross. It's raw. What are you doing? And they're like, whatever. Right. So anyway, back to our regular scheduled programming.
Right.
Well, something that I think people, this didn't happen to me, but one of our drivers, not too long ago, they ended up, you know, there's three lanes of interstate everywhere here, pretty much on one side. And people have, especially people from out of town, up near Orlando, you know, Disney and all that, you know, they don't know where they're going and they want to be in the middle lane doing like 35 and the speed limit 70, you know? So one of our drivers ended up rear ending somebody and had this big wreck because he was doing our 68 and rear ended somebody in the middle lane doing like 35.
Wow.
So he spun them out or whatever. And It probably would have been his fault anyway, but this is the thing. He's getting charged with a bunch of stuff because he was looking at his phone when it happened. We don't have driver facing cameras, but it reflects, you know?
Right.
And I just, that bothers me because I see so many, other drivers. They'll be watching, not with my company, but just with, especially OTR.
Yes.
I can't even say that because it's been LTL too, but they'll have like their iPad set up watching a movie or inappropriate, you know, things.
Yep.
And I'm like, dude, watch the road, you know, like so much stuff can happen. And
in the blink of an eye.
Yeah. And so, you know, it would have been that guy's fault, the driver's fault anyway, but you know, there's no way he's going to get out of that.
No.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like not that you're going to try to get out of it, but
that
the dude was going 35.
Right.
Yeah. So the judge might have, you know, who knows, had a little, you know, compassion because the dude was doing 35 and a 70 in the middle lane. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when you're using your phone, no compassion.
Yep.
Isn't that like a $20,000 fine or something for a CDL holder?
10 up here.
Yeah, up here it's 10.
I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think
it might be, it might be 10 all across the U.S. I'm not 100% sure on that because
I'm sure every
state I stay on this side of the law because, you know, I work hard for my money and there's no sense giving it to the state more than I have to.
Yes, you're like Irene Cara.
Yes.
You work hard for your money.
That's
it.
don't mind him. He likes little music slow.
Yeah. But a couple of times coming down Flat Top Mountain, this is, I tell people this and they're like floored. But, you know, you look over and you see drivers. I guess they're not used to the mountains or whatever. And their brakes are this red hot.
Yeah.
You know? And. Yep. So I'm like, if their brakes are red, you know, like they could catch on fire, then I'm good. I'll keep rolling, you know.
Right. You want to get as far away from it as possible.
Yeah. If their brakes are already on fire, then I stay behind them.
Right.
Who knows when they're going to. And they look at me like, what? I'm like, well, yeah, their brakes will, there'll be a fire, you know,
right.
And on one of their axles and. You know, you just hope they get to the bottom. But I seen one truck go over on Flat Top.
Wow.
He didn't like go all the way. He went through the guardrail, but then it caught before his tandems went off. So, and it's not like a cliff there. It's, you know, you don't want to go off of it. You can die, but it's not like straight off a cliff, you know.
Right.
It looks like it, but it's not. But anyway, so I've seen that happen a couple of times. Once with the guy going off, once with the guy hitting the guardrail, but not really going off. And then that just amazes me. Like, I haven't been driving that long. And I'm like, just gear your truck down. Like, I can go all the way down Flat Top, fully loaded, and not even hit my brakes, you know? Just use your engine brakes and gear it down. But
yeah,
people are crazy.
Yes,
and then I've seen, in the bad weather, of course, you see some wild stuff doing somersaults and things like that.
Yes.
And then in Florida, which we would vacation here anyway my whole life, but to see alligators hit on the road, you see more alligators. Like, I've only seen two deer hit ever on the interstate, but I see alligators, especially during like mating season. But the thing is, when I come back through to go home, the alligators are gone because people will pick them up. Like, you know how hunters will pick up the deer if it's still warm out here? I'm not a
tail.
Hunter.
Gator tail's the best, you know. Deep fried.
They'll get the alligator.
Oh, yeah.
So the alligator is never there. And I'm so like, are you serious? Like, somebody picks the alligators up.
Yes, and we're not talking about the recap that comes off the tire. We're talking about the real gator itself.
Wow.
Yes.
That, you know.
And a 12 like a 12-foot one. I'm assuming he's about 12-foot because he was across the whole lane. It got hit, and a big truck hit it, and he pulled over, I guess, to check his tires or whatever. And I thought, well, there's some good eating for somebody because I know that thing's not going to be there when I come back.
Good in the neighborhood.
For sure, yes.
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm telling you.
I'll take your word for it. I'll
tastes like chicken.
You've never had alligator?
I have not.
Tastes like chicken.
It's like, it does taste like chicken, but it's more chewy. Yeah.
I have never had alligator, and I've never had roadkill.
And I was going to say, I don't know if mine come off the road or where it came from, but probably. That's probably where the restaurants are getting their alligators. Exactly. And I thought about that. I'm thinking, does somebody just ride up and down the interstate looking for alligators?
Run over roadkill alligators.
That's it.
Because they are gone. Yeah. Like, every time, they're gone. It doesn't matter how big it is. It can be a little baby one, and it's gone.
Right.
So...
must not have. It must not have died.
Yeah,
I believe he was dead.
Yes, exactly.
I swerved safely around one time, and then he took off running because I looked in my mirror, and he turned around and went the other way. So I was like, "Well, I'll try to avoid the animals, of course, if I can." You know, I hate that. That's one thing about driving at night.
Yeah,
a huge. I don't know what kind of bird it was. Of course, here, it's huge birds everywhere, but I think it was an owl because it was like a big, thick, brown object come swooping. So I don't know how fast he was swooping. This was like a couple weeks ago, and he hit my air dam on the top, and it shook my whole truck. I'm like, that was a dinosaur. But then I didn't see it, like, laying anywhere, which it could have, you know, ricocheted off into the grass somewhere. But, you know, because I was curious, like, what was that? And there's no way it lived.
Yeah.
But I never seen it. So somebody probably grabbed that thing.
Yep.
Could have bounced off your air dam, landed in the middle. I'm like, man, what the hell did I hit?
Exactly. Yeah. And then I thought, well, I wonder if it landed on top of one of my trailers. Yeah, it's still up there, rotten.
That's a heck of a ride.
Right. You'll find it right there on the dolly in between the both trailers there when you're unhooking.
One time when I was doing city work, and I felt so bad because I love animals, like overly love animals. I was in like, oh gosh, you know where Stewart's Draft is? The little hole in the wall place in Virginia. I was there like on this one. Well, it was a one-lane road at some fire station trying to deliver something. And on my way there, I hit one of those red-headed woodpeckers, right? And I felt so bad. Like, it hit, like, I seen it coming, and it hit my thing. And then it went somewhere, and I was like, oh, gosh. And there's, you know, I'm thinking he hit too hard. Well, the guy was like, you got a buddy riding with you. And I'm like, what? And he was on my catwalk. And I'm like, dang it. I was like, do you mind getting him? You know, I feel so bad.
Yeah, it's the stuff that's one of the bad parts about dealing with this job is, you know, you wind up hitting stuff that you don't want to hit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Up here, you know, it's a lot of times it's deer.
Yeah.
You know, especially
deer or bear.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
Oh, bear. Gosh. Yeah. Which Virginia's got a ton of deer, of course.
Yeah.
Like you all are. Down here, it's not so much the deer. It's more, of course, raccoons and possums. Coyotes every so often. Now, one guy hit a bear. Where was he at? It was like from going from Lakeland to Miami, and he hit a bear, and it like busted his radiator or something. Like, yeah, he couldn't drive his truck afterwards, so that must have been a big one.
Hitting a bear there kind of stops the truck pretty much in its tracks.
Yeah, it does. When it runs out.
When it
takes out the radiator, an intercooler, an oil pan, you know, you're done.
Oh, yeah.
Pull it over.
Yeah, for sure. So, and then one guy hit a cow on the back roads.
A cow?
And that put his truck down. I guess it got out of the... You don't think of Florida having, like...
Nope.
No, cows and bears.
I'll tell you what, Florida with the cows, they do. They to have them out in, you know, what we would call swamplands and that, they're out there in pastures. Yeah.
Huh. Oh, yeah.
I saw that. And I was coming across Florida, going past the orange groves and that, and, you know, where the orange plant, the juice plants are, you know, where there's trailer upon trailer upon trailer of oranges.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, there's no way they're getting through all these oranges today.
Right. But yeah. Exactly. And they're just sitting there.
Yeah. And I've seen these, you know, the cows, the oxens, and that stuff just out. I mean,
wow.
Literally, there is nowhere there's a house or a farm or a barn, anything, and they're just out. And they eventually graze, you know, because my brother lives down there. And I asked him, I said, what is this? Oh, yeah, they eventually go back home. You know, they just wander around aimlessly.
Yeah.
It's weird.
And then we got the wild pigs here, of course.
Yeah.
And those things, a guy in a sleeper hit one, like a big male boar, and it totally... You think they're low to the ground, so you wouldn't think they would, you know, they might damage your bumper. No, it took off like almost the whole front end of his truck.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, no, you hit something else. You didn't hit a pig, but that's what he hit.
Right.
And I guess the weight and the impact and all that.
Right.
So somebody was like, those things can weigh 1,000 pounds. And, but you don't see them hit a lot. That makes me think they're a lot smarter than the other wild
ones. Exactly.
You don't hear the story often about the boar crossing the road. You usually hear the chicken getting nailed.
Exactly. Yeah.
But hey, he had ribs that night.
Exactly. Yeah. He said he wanted to throw it up on his catwalk and take it home, but the guy wouldn't let him, or throw it up on the tow truck and take it home. But the guy, whoever the, I don't know if the wildlife come up, they're like, oh, we don't allow that. And he's like, it's going to go to waste.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know what was up with that.
Believe me, I got to take this back with me because safety is not going to believe this.
Exactly. That'd be my mindset. You're not going to believe
it. Yeah. So, but anyway, I don't know. You see some bizarre stuff in the way people drive, you know, like cutting you off.
Right.
I'm like, has nobody ever told you about cutting a semi truck off, you know, and hitting your brakes? And do you not know that we have cameras? So if we hit you, obviously that just blows my mind. And, it seems like here, like in Virginia, you'll get a ticket for looking over, you know, somebody the wrong way. But here, people are nuts. You know, you got to be doing like 100 on the interstate before they'll give you a ticket.
Right.
And, just the amount of people texting, and you can tell, you get used to like the swerving texting,
the swerving and slowing texting.
Or the swerving that I'm tired and I'm drifting off,
right,
you know, to sleep. You get used to which one it is.
You know, you're down there. But, well, that guy's a tourist. This guy's just texting.
And this guy's downright sleeping.
Right.
This guy is definitely drifting off to sleep. Yeah. So,
We have that up there, but yeah, we have it here. Yeah, we have the texting, watching movies, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they do it so discreetly, they'll put their phone down where the speedometer is, so they have no clue how fast they're going, but they're watching Netflix.
Right. Or other stuff. Like, right. I'm amazed. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like what? My inappropriateness will come in here.
That's all right.
I'm just like, what's your ultimate goal here, dude? Like,
yep.
You're driving down the road already.
And like you said, you know, they're watching this stuff, and they have this, like, 12-inch screen on the dash.
Yes.
You know, it looks like a huge GPS, but it's not GPS.
Yes. That's a GPS of some sort, but I don't know where he's going with it.
Right.
So I'm like, and I see LTL drivers like that, and I'm like, you know, I don't know. I can understand if it's the owner operator, because you do your own thing and whatever happens, happens. But LTL, I'm like, that's stuff for flex.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if your boss pulls your, you know, your forward-facing camera and sees that, like, I would be, I don't know, I would be embarrassed, but I guess some people don't care.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some of these forward-facing cameras, they're back, like ours are back from the dash, back from the windshield. You can actually see
You can pick
your
up.
Phone glow. Yeah. On the windshield.
Yes.
You know, and some of these morons can't comprehend that. And, you know, you were on your, you know, we have you in the office because you were on your phone. What do you mean I was on my phone? You don't have a rear facing camera. No, we have a front one and we can see the, you see the glow right there? I mean, you know.
Exactly.
Doesn't look like you're calling mom.
Right. You know, and even if you are, you're not supposed to be calling mom. You know?
If that is. I was just calling my mom. What does your mom do for a living? Because
it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
That's not right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that stuff, it's aggravating. It's not just here. It's everywhere. But
it is.
Right. I get the idea that, you know, they're putting these, they're putting all this technology in to try to save money on the insurance, you know, try to save their, you know, their company's ass. You know, in case, like you said, something major happens, you know, that they have some kind of leg to stand on that they can say, these were the events that led up to this.
Yeah.
You know? Right. And that guy that was using his phone when it reflected, I mean, that's their out right there.
Yeah.
It totally falls on the driver. So, we have like a safety lane in the terminal that he came from, the terminal I go to. Now, my terminal, it's small. We don't really have a safety lane, you know, to check every night. Mm-hmm. And he didn't go through the safety lane either. So I'm like, dude, you're just setting yourself up.
Right.
You know,
because
he can't blame the truck or the, you know, because you didn't go through the safety lane.
Right.
You know what I mean?
With all that telemetry that's on the truck, they could tell you if you even applied the brake or even if you slowed down, you know, if you dropped the gear, you know, if the trans dropped the gear, they could tell all that.
Yep.
You know, that's why they call them black boxes.
Right.
For a reason.
So I'm waiting to see what all comes about with that. It wasn't too long ago. So, I mean, I wish him the best, but he's a good guy. But,
you know, you hate to hear it, but, you know, he brought it on himself. He brought it on himself. You know, was that text or whatever that important, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, speaking of like 460 and narrows, have you guys ever seen anything like paranormal or anything while you're driving?
Nope. I haven't, but, you know, I've heard people on the areas that I do drive that, you know, claim they've seen weird stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you know, I was up there like 10 months ago or, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Right.
One guy that Tony interviewed was talking about it, and I'm like, I know where that guy's talking about.
Right.
Is that the time slip guy?
Yeah. Yeah. The time slip guy and the other one. Oh, what's his name? I can't remember. Well,
so I wonder if like stuff is around and people either you're able to see it, like you have whatever in your brain, or it just happens to be in the right place at the right time, you know?
That's a good question.
And you end up seeing some stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So that's like the,
and then a lot of that plays on you too. You know, were you fatigued as far as were you, you know, deprived? Should you have, you know, pulled over maybe an hour ago and you're trying to keep going? You know, a lot of that goes into play because, you know, you, like I said, you can go past the same spot time after time, nothing. And it's just this one night, all of a sudden, boom, there it is.
Maybe the stars aligned and you saw something.
Right.
Something weird like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, so you guys haven't had anything like that you can remember?
No. Not.
Personally, I haven't. Not when I was driving. I told Tony this story years ago for his confessionals thing. You know, when I was a kid. And I verified this with my brother. I verified it with, you know, as many family members as I could. My parents are dead now, but I verified it with, you know, everybody else. And they were like, yeah, that's what we saw too. It was, you know, a couple of, you know, I don't know how else to describe it. Chip's going to look at me like I'm a nutball, but you know, I saw our whole family saw two lights floating in the sky, maybe 100 feet off the ground, and they were silent. There was no noise. It was up in my aunt's house and out in the middle of nowhere, you know, in the country. And it's like, how do you explain it? They were totally silent. Yeah. They came over the hill. you know, we're all standing there. Some of us ran in to get our parents. I was like, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years old. Parents came out. We're all standing there looking at this, and those things just went back the way they came, totally silent. I don't know how you explain it.
Cool?
I don't know how to, you know, it, but it happened. I sat down with my brother, like, you know, dude, is this like just a weird dream, childhood dream or something?
I said, no, right.
We all saw it. We all, you know, we're standing there, my parents, my cousin's parents, all their kids. There's like 10 kids all together between my parents and them.
Oh, wow.
And,
yeah.
And, you know, four sets of parents.
Where's
or two
uncle?
Sets of parents.
Right.
He was with us. So, yeah, I mean, I have seen some, you know, weird.
Yeah.
But I have no explanation for it.
Right.
You know?
Right. Isn't that wild? Because there's no denying it when there's that many people, you know?
Right, exactly.
Did it scare you? Were you scared or just intrigued?
Just totally intrigued. Because And I think that started me down the path that Tony is on, my son.
Right.
He has a show called The Confessionals. I don't know if you...
Yeah.
Okay. So that's, you know, all the way back then in like 1970, what, three?
70, you were there, 19,
not me. Well, I'm trying to remember. It's like, you know, I was a kid, so like 1973-ish, you know?
Right.
And it was just an intriguing thing. And, you know, it's always kind of washed back and forth in my head. And you look, you know, you watch stuff or whatever, and it's like, well, who knows? You know, who knows? That's where I'm at with it.
Well, when I was coming through Narrows, Virginia, which is right, if you know where Princeton, West Virginia is, and you come down 460 and back towards Roanoke and Salem, it's inside Virginia, but the West Virginia line over in the woods or whatever is just right there, but it just happens to be Virginia, and it's right beside the New River. And right through that area, and like I said, I love animals and try to do what I can, you know, safely, try not to hit them and just be, you know, aware.
Right.
Well, right there beside the river, like, animals will go back and forth to get water, or fish or whatever. I figure they're down there looking for food, little small things down there they can eat or whatever. And, you'll see just a bobcat, coyotes, like every amount of wildlife through there. It's just a crazy amount. So I'm always, you know, just aware. And one night I was coming down through there, and, you know, the deer are just so thick. Like, you know, I've had deer jump over the guardrail. I slow down, you know, hit my brakes. And then I had three deer jump in front of me, and I slowed, you know, hit my brakes pretty hard, slowed down to about 40, and they're just running in front of me, not even getting out of the way. And I'm like blowing the horn, nothing. They're just running with me. They're like, wee, you know, and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, you know, like this doesn't happen. So eventually they go on. I actually tried to switch lanes and go around, and one of them come over with me, and I'm like, oh great, you know, what do you want me to do? Just stop. So anyway, and it's just through there. It's like nuts. The animals are nuts. Like, they rule the area. So I'm going through there, and I remember a sleeper cab passes me, and they're, you know, just rolling on, because I had to, I come from the light, and I actually think they ran the red lights. They were just rolling, you know? So they pass me coming through there, and we get on down, and I can see them ahead of me. And, when I'm coming through that area, there's an area right through there that has like landslides all the time, and they've somewhat fixed it, but it still happens. But it's right in that area where all these rocks are, where they tried to fix it. And I'm rolling up through there, and I see something like in the median to the left that it's something big. So I automatically think it's a deer, but it's not in its normal like running or grazing or whatever. So I'm automatically thinking it's a deer that got hit, you know, and if I see that, I'll call, you know, the authorities, not the 911, but like the local number, and just get them to come and tell them about where it's at, and they'll come and shoot it or whatever.
Right.
So anyway, so I slowed down because I was thinking, well, it could run back out, you know, in front of me, and then I heard it worse, or, you know, damage a truck, and then I'll be here for 3 hours waiting on breakdown, you know?
Exactly.
So, so anyway, I slow down. There's nobody behind me, because it's like 1:30 in the morning, and and there's no like lights through there. It's just my headlights. I have my brights on. Well, I'm coming up on it and I'm like, you know, it looks more tall than a deer would be. And I'm like, what the, you know, and then you start thinking, what the heck, you know, like, what is this, you know? And then I'm thinking, is it a bear? But it's not like bulky, and it's too tall to be a bear unless it, you know, was walking upright, but then it's too tall, it seems like, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm coming up and, I look over and it's like a dog, but it's walking on two legs, you know? And when you see stuff like that, you're just so, like, I've had paranormal stuff happen my whole life. Uh-huh. Since I was little, my mom would tell me things that I would say to her. But I've never seen anything like that, right? So I slow down more because I'm intrigued, but I'm freaked out, you know? And it's going, like, at its waist, going back and forth, back and forth. And I'm like, everything about this is just not normal, right? Like, especially this creature walking on two legs, and people were like, it's probably a Bigfoot, but it was more slender. Like, it was about 8 foot tall, and how I get that is if I'm sitting in the truck, it was like eye level with me, and I'm like 5'7", so, and I don't jack my seat way up in the air. Mm-hmm. So I'm just assuming, I've never measured it, but I'm just assuming it was about 8 foot. And it was like slender for its height and its shoulders. And it had like a dog face or a fox face, like the pointed skull, but it was big. And I didn't see any teeth or anything. People asked me about its teeth. I don't know why, but I didn't see any teeth. And people asked me, did it have an eye reflection? But I didn't, it just had dark eyes, but it didn't have any light shining right on it, though. It was to my side, you know, but it was gyrating back and forth at its waist. And I'm just like, I was freaked out, but intrigued, you know? Sure. And then my son, he's 18. He's like, well, if you would have been in your personal car, would you have stopped? And I was like, you know what? I thought about that and I probably would have stopped, but not got out. Like, just to see what it would do, you know, probably attack me in my car or something. But, anyway, I'm like, and it was walking like from the river up through the median, and it would have had to go up that little cliff, like where that landslide is, to go back up into the woods. Mm-hmm. But then at that time I had two routes where I would go switch out, get another set of doubles and go back to Princeton. I was actually coming from Charleston, West Virginia. So I didn't see anything when I come back through there, didn't see it again. I never seen it, that particular thing again. But then I was thinking, I wonder if this is like way off in the deep end here. Wonder if that truck, like they didn't see it, but if some.
You lost her.
Yeah. What happened?
Hello. Are you there? Hey, the dog man got me for a minute. It didn't want me telling you about it. Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. We're good. Go for it.
Sorry.
So anyway, so one time I was on 77 coming back from Charleston, interstate at 77. And, it was about, I don't know exactly where I was, but I looked on a map and tried to guesstimate where I was, but it seems like it was around the Whitaker area, which is somewhat between like Beckley and Charleston, like in the middle. And I seen something that it looked like an off hyena, I hear the black dog thing people talk about, and I've never seen that, but it was like an overgrown, odd looking hyena-ish creature. And it looked like it was feeding on a deer, through there. And I've asked some people about that, and they said that some in Kentucky at some point, somebody had a zoo or had wild animals and they got loose and some hyenas got loose. But this didn't even, it resembled a hyena, but it was, it was like it was mixed with something. I don't know what, but it was just off, you know?
Right.
Right.
And,
right.
Then when I passed it, and this is what got me, I think worse than anything, is wild animals will look at your truck because it's making noise and it's big and, you know, but instead of looking at my truck, it looked like right at my eyes. Like it looked at me as a person. And I just thought that was so, like, that freaked me out. That made me sick to my stomach. I'm like, how did it know to look up?
Right.
But me.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Exactly. So I'm like, so those are two things like through there that happened like in that area. So I'm not getting out of my truck there ever. He's like, you're broke down. What's wrong with it? I have no idea, and I'm not getting out.
I'm no mechanic, and I'm not going to be exploring it.
I'm not starting to be. Not tonight.
No. Yes. No.
No, that's intriguing. So, that really is. That's cool. You know, it's weird. You hear like you know stories of Bigfoot or Dogman or whatever, and you're like, sometimes you think, I wish I could see one. You know.
Yeah.
But only see it. I don't want to, I don't want to interact. I don't want to get close. I don't, I want distance. You know what I mean? But it would still be intriguing to see. So I think that's neat.
Yeah. And that's the thing is being at work and being in the truck and stuff, you're limited on maneuverability of able to pull over and stuff. Right. And then how you're going to explain, well, I seen this thing and I wanted to check it out. My boss would be like, yeah, we're sending you to the doctor. But,
we're sending you for a drug screen.
Exactly. And, but often like if you're in your personal vehicle, like those two times I was glad I wasn't because I probably would have pulled over and then who knows what would have happened. I'd have been one of those missing people, you know? So
exactly.
I'm like, yeah, thankful I was at work. So.
Yeah, there you go. You know, like I said, it's just one of those weird things that is very intriguing. And I wish we had more of an answer. I wish we had more information, but unfortunately,
but then again, some things are left to be unexplained.
That's true. Good point, Shep.
Yeah.
But It never happens where it's in view of the camera on your truck.
Yeah.
Well,
this is a thing with that Dogman type 8-foot creature. I actually, knowing that I had that forward facing camera, I used to have when I did city work, I had my own, forward facing camera that recorded because supposedly it doesn't record. It like records over itself or whatever. I don't exactly know how it works. And I've been told a couple different things from the safety people, but, I know that mine would record and keep it, you know, so with city work, you're in and out of places and dodging traffic and stuff. So I felt like it was better for me to have my own. So it ended up breaking and I need to get another one, but with the camera at work, I called, my driver that I'm used to meet in Charleston is best friends with the safety guy, like outside of work and everything. Well, he called him and I just said, I seen a bear and wanted to see if he could give me the, like just record it and give me that little clip, you know? Well, he called the guy and the guy said, well, unless she hit her brakes real hard or had a collision, then it doesn't download to us. Right. So then I let a little bit of time pass and I'm like, somebody's got to have that. Like it's got to be downloading somewhere. So then I called up there and sort of like tried to sweet talk somebody to see, and they actually pulled the time frame and it didn't, they said they don't know if it downloaded and it just recorded over they didn't have any video from that time period on their computer system. So, that's aggravating, but
right when you want it to record, it's not going to record.
Right,
you know, exactly. When you don't want it to record, they can tell you there was three flies on your windshield at the same time you were drinking your Slurpee.
Exactly.
I know what you mean.
Now I know that if I see something else freaky, I just got to hit my brakes super hard and not jackknife, then it'll record it.
Is there like on your ELD log? Is there a button that says record? Because ours do. That's why I'm asking. Ours have.
But on our ELD, that's only recording the events.
If you press that, it should tag an event. It should like
It's not going to do the camera. It's only going to record the information on the PeopleNet.
Oh no, kidding!
You have to hit that lane departure button.
Yeah.
And hold it or something like that, and that would record it and send it to our safety department in Pittsburgh. That's how I understood it.
Okay.
And as far as you talking about your camera. Going in a loop, I was told it's like a 200-hour loop.
Well, our cameras, the new ones.
You know, and then it would just record over itself, you know. If there was an event, if there was an event that happened, it would go to safety, but then it would continue just going for 200 hours, and then it would start back over again. So if you actually, you know, if there was such a thing as marking the tape, you know, 200 hours later, you should be back to where you were again, you know, where it was again, blank, ready to record to right over.
Yeah,
I've never heard of it on ours, but that's something to think of. I think
But you're safe as bed, like you said, if you got one of those GoPros.
Yeah, if you have your own dash cam.
Cam and mounted it forward. Yeah. You know, then you have it. You don't have to ask anybody. It's your own recording. You know, that's the end of it. You can make money off it when you see them.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's cool, you know.
Well, then people say that you're faking it.
Of course, you know.
Can't win.
You can't. No matter how much evidence you have, it's not enough. I know.
That's
how people are. Ship. No, I know. Ship, he's fine. He's funny. I just like busting him.
It is what it is.
It is. But no.
And one time.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I forgot about this. All this stuff happens on 460. I'm glad I don't drive there anymore. So anyway,
yeah, remind me. I'm not going to Roanoke.
No.
That's where I was coming out of. So I'm coming up through there, getting over to Princeton, and I felt like one of my tires on, you know, somewhere. You know, I just felt like I should like take a look or whatever, just to see if the tire come off the rim or something, because something felt funny. So I pulled over, and I was real close to Princeton. Like, I could see the lights from that Walmart up there. And I got out, looked, you know, nothing was up, but I just felt like before I start up the, you know, West Virginia Mountain, I should probably take a look. So anyway, another driver was coming. Let's see. They must have been. It might have been my trip to Princeton, because they were coming back from Charleston, and they said, they called me and like, hey, are you good? And I said, yeah, I was just checking the tires or whatever. And they said, you need to watch when you pull over on 460. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, somebody had pulled over further down where there's no houses, no, you know, it's just completely dark and it's just woods. So it's completely woods. I don't know. There's just an area where there's like no houses or nothing. I'm sure there's a house up in there somewhere, but there's no lights, nothing. And the driver pulled over to take a whiz, and he's standing there, and there's a dude in the woods staring at him, just random. And I'm like, how? I was like, was it a guy or like, you know, like a creature? He's like, no, he said it was a guy. And he was just standing there, and I'm like, that creeps me out more than any freaking dog man or any hyena type creature. Like, I would die. I would absolutely, like, I'm like, I am not getting out of my truck ever.
You know, that whiz would have been over immediately, and I'd have been back in my truck and on my way.
I mean, why would there be a random person there?
That
freaked me out more than any other thing.
That's creepy. That is really creepy.
Like, there's nothing there. It's not like his house.
And the guy's there. How do you do, neighbor? Hidey-ho.
Yeah.
And it's so random that he would pull over right there and the guy would be right there.
Right.
Like, this guy's like, ooh, this is my lucky day, a truck.
This is the second truck tonight.
Think of all the scenarios that could go down with that. I'm like, they're unlimited, you know?
They are.
So anyway, it's the creepy stuff happens up in there, I'm telling you.
Well, I'm staying off of 460, I'll tell you that.
That dog man was probably that guy's pet.
Right.
Exactly. Who knows?
That's freaky.
Yeah, that is I think human beings are probably creepier than anything else you're gonna see.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They just, I think so. We can just be creepy, creepy, creepy.
And have you guys ever been to the Go Mart in Charleston, West Virginia?
Speaking of creepy. Like,
oh my goodness. Like, we would always switch out at the Go Mart. I forget the exit number now, but it's just the only Go Mart that's like a truck stop in West Virginia, or in Charleston, rather. So there would be like you would get out to switch out, and then if you were over next to the bushes, there would be just like random people coming out of the bushes. And then the guy across the, some guys would switch out across the street at the Bob Evans, and they quit being over there because they'd be out, you know, cranking their landing gear. And then people would come underneath their trailer and pop up beside them and ask them for like money and be like trying to touch them and stuff, like zombies, you know? I said, that's like zombies.
Yep.
Out of the woodwork up there.
You know, now that she says that, I remember somebody telling me something about that. They just randomly come out of the bushes. Yeah. I remember somebody telling me, you know, since you said that.
Wow.
I'm like, I've heard this story before.
Yeah. Because one time somebody hit the pumps or something at the Go-Mart. So my driver was like, hey, we're going to have to switch out at Bob Evans. But he said, lock your doors and don't get out of the truck until I get there. You know, because it's just so, you know, as long as there's two drivers there. And he was like, tells the other guy driver that don't get out unless there's two people, because they'll come out of the woodwork and there's like a lot of them. There'll be like 15 or 20 coming out of like all these places. Yeah.
Wow. That's scary. Sounds like it. Yeah. What the heck?
That was just
their thing to do on a random night, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Nothing better to do in, you know,
it's all those crack bike smokers up there, man.
Well, look at that. Crack piping tweakers.
Yeah. Zombie. Yes.
Wow. That's weird.
And then when all that stimulus money went around, it was so funny. Because all those same people, it's like they got checks and you seen them. And instead of riding around in cars, they had all these new BMX bikes. It was like the...
They were styling. Like
yes, and I'm not lying. And I have pictures and video on my phone of it. Because all of a sudden, and me and the other driver were laughing so hard. Like, we couldn't even... We just had to sit there, and we were, like, snotting and crying, laughing. Because it was like the posse. Because all of those people from the bushes were now on BMX bikes riding down the road together. You know, this was their Lamborghini. So.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm like, I sort of miss up there, but I sort of don't, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. That is too much.
So if you're ever on vacation, get a chance to stop in there early one morning.
Bring your popcorn.
There you go.
Show starts every half hour.
Yeah, yeah. Every 15 minutes.
Oh, gosh.
Just wait for the drivers to show up and drop their trailers.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to be adventurous, go to the Bob Evans and get out.
And not just for the food.
Right. Come for the entertainment.
Come for the food, stay for the entertainment. There you go.
Yeah.
Their new slogan.
Man, that's hilarious.
Can you imagine their surveillance cameras, like, in the night? They probably sit there and watch it.
Oh, my word.
I can only imagine.
They've got to have a...
They're probably in there with the place locked up watching it. Hey, watch, the nuts are coming out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Oh. That is crazy.
Very interesting. Yeah. I apologize if I've offended anybody that lives in Charleston, West Virginia. The truth hurts, so.
Yes, it does. No offense was intended.
Right. Just stating facts.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
And usually those people already know about those people, so
yeah,
it's nothing.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Well, Melissa, would you like to talk about anything else, or I know that's a dumb question.
I've probably chewed y'all's ear enough for one day.
Yeah, this is what we do.
Exactly.
This makes a show.
Yeah, it is. It's exactly what makes
a show. We got all the time you possibly need.
That's right.
You're like, cut her off and put her on a different day.
No, not at all.
Didn't say that at all.
No.
I did. This is my first interview with a woman truck driver, so, I feel
seriously
kind of honored.
Oh, okay.
You know,
that's
so.
Cool deal.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, it's a whole different ball game here, you know?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter, you know, who it is.
That's
as
right.
As long as they do the job.
Yep. Amen,
bro. Right. You don't bitch about it.
Do it safely.
That's it.
Good.
Yes, that's it. That is it. Well, Melissa, it really has been fun talking with you. We really do enjoy hearing the people's stories and talking with people and just kind of getting that feel. And, you know, and it was very enjoyable sitting talking with you. We had a great time.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I had a good time talking to you guys.
Awesome. Awesome. We really appreciate it. And if you ever, you know, you ever want to come back on, just get a hold of us again. You know, we bring you on, have another conversation, just chit chat and, you know, see where it goes.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds good. I'll do it.
That'd be great.
We're working on catching up on lost time here. So, you know, we're doing the best we can with the, what we got here.
Yeah, exactly.
I understand.
But Brian's getting better at it each week.
We're trying.
But, you know. All right. Well, that sounds good.
That really would be cool. Just like I said, just contact us and we'd love to bring you back on. It was great, really chit chatting. We were on for an hour and a half.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh, that doesn't seem like it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
And you know, I said this on the last interview. You know, you just start having a conversation, and you know, it goes where it goes, and before you know it, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours is up, and you're like, you know, you think in the back of your head, I had like 10 minutes of stuff to talk about and I'd be running out of things to talk about, you know.
Exactly.
This is an interesting industry that we're in, and there's a lot of things that go on. And there's everybody's got opinions about things, and it's neat to get them and ferret them out and, you know, find out what's in what's going on in somebody else's little part of this world, you know. So we really appreciate it.
That's true.
As I'd like to say, it's not always about us.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Honesty.
Oh.
Well, Melissa, you take care. Oh, go ahead. What were you going to say? No, that's okay.
I was going to say, I'll think of some other little stories and give y'all a shout and get back on sometime.
That would be awesome. That really would be awesome. You take care of yourself, and you know, Memorial Day is coming up in a couple of weeks. I don't know when this show's going out, so this may be past date. Who knows? But you have a good Memorial Day.
Our job's just to record them. Jack's job's to get them out.
Yeah,
and he's doing it slowly this week.
Put the pressure on him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Apparently, the computer's on a slow boat from China.
Literally.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right.
Well,
stay
it was good
safe.
Talking to you guys.
It was great having you on. Great having a conversation with you.
It was.
And remember, share the show.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
You have any other female truck drivers out there? Come on. We're not.
Yeah, we love. I mean, we'd love
to hear it from you. You know, like I said, you were the first one. So hey,
for shipper,
for me, yes.
Yeah.
But no, it was. It's cool. It's just cool to get the stories from all of them.
All perspectives.
Yep,
yes.
All perspectives. Yeah. So thanks again, Melissa. You take care of yourself and be safe. And Shipper, you want to sign us out, Ship?
Yes. Keep the hammer down in the hammer lane. And don't forget, share the show.
Share the show.
Goodbye.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.